Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm Tim Grady. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss, and joining us today is Anthony Nieves. Anthony's one of our favorite people from the Institute for Supply Management because he brings us such good and dazzling reports about the non-manufacturing sector. Anthony, welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I welcome you as well.
So we have got a report today, and I'm not going to steal your thunder, Anthony. I'm going to let you share with our listeners the number, which comes out every month. It's a roll-up number, and what makes that number so spectacular this month. Anthony?
Thank you. When we look at the composite index, the NMI, came in at 58.8, down ever so slightly from the prior month's reading of 59.5. And we look at this 58.8, it's above the 12-month running average of 57.7. And this is after we had a record reading in January of 2008 of 59.9. So we look at the first quarter of 2018 as a continuation of the strong growth that we've been experiencing in the non-manufacturing sector.
Yeah, it certainly is very strong. So what's driving it? I know that we talked to Tim Fiore earlier, and he said the drivers were inputs on his side. What is driving it on your side?
Well, we're seeing a lot of activity across the various sectors that comprise this industries that comprise this sector, 15 industries. And what we're seeing it on is the consumer confidence is contributed to this, commercial confidence, capital revitalization, reinvestment. So it's just a lot of things going on. And, you know, the only damper that seems to be in the background, or I should say more in the forefront, but it's more from a psyche standpoint, is what's going on with the tariffs. We have not seen any impact from that as of yet. But overall, you look at consumer confidence is at a 45-year high right now. If you look at where the economy is, it's just humming along very strongly. The non-manufacturing sector, as I mentioned, has had this trend of slow, steady incremental growth upon leaving the recession. And then we had this strength buildup in 2017, and we thought it wasn't sustainable, and it just carried through right into 2018.
Anthony, question for you on the tariffs as it relates to what industries might get impacted on the non-manufacturing side. I know that pork is one of the things that China is now going to put a tariff on in retaliation for our tariffs. Does that fall under agriculture?
Yes, that's in the agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting is the one industry category that we're on the NAICS code for this for non-manufacturing, just as we are in manufacturing. So you see it there. You'll see it in the realization coming from construction and any industry where there are replacement parts. You may not see it directly for products, but it's in the components, that whether it's something that has to be repaired, and there's three or four parts manufacturers that come out of China, and there's a tariff on that. The question will be, will this pull through, and will it be costs that are absorbed in the supply chain, or ultimately wind up as end-user cost? That is what remains
right
to be seen. And even further beyond that, when you look at the tariffs, at this stage, nothing's been implemented yet, other than the few that came out earlier in the year, starting with lumber. But what's been implemented at this point in time? It's all discussion point. Is it a negotiation tactic? Is the prevailing feeling of many? So we have to see exactly what transpires, what gets implemented, and then what is the resulting impact on cost for both sectors.
Lou, you're seeing something quite different in the metals industry, are you not?
Absolutely. And the tariffs on alloy, carbon, and stainless steel was unequivocally put into effect on March 23rd. Matter of fact, we've been talking with several steel distributors in the Midwest who are, and actually there was an article on, I don't know if it was CNN or manufacturing.net, but one of them was talking about several of these large distributors who had, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 tons that were on the water, that as soon as it hit port, they were hit with the duty. And it's a 25% duty. And we had something coming in as well from one of the countries that are on the list. And the customs held it for inspection, which they do periodically, and they held it until the 23rd and slapped us with a 25% tariff. And so they are very definitely being proactive. And unfortunately, mainstream media doesn't talk about, and I don't want to say fake news because I just don't want to say fake news, but they are not putting out all the news. How's that one? Is that better?
So, That's accurate.
Right. And now the second part that was discussed yesterday is supposed to go into effect on June 11th for machinery, parts, aerospace, and a bunch of other things. But those are the two biggies. So they're playing games, and it's all brinksmanship as far as I'm concerned. I mean, one of the big things, and I don't mean to take away thunder, but I'm so riled by all of this, I'm going to take another minute of our collective time. In the Midwest, there's about 8 or 9 states that are the largest producers of soy. China is now imposing a tariff on soy going to China, and that's one of their primary foodstuffs. So who's getting screwed on this? The Chinese people. And it's pathetic, right, that this whole thing has started. And Tony, I'm sure you're aware that of the last 5 presidents who have implemented tariffs, they all failed.
Yes, I think that all of this is part of a far-reaching negotiation tactic. Who knows where it'll wind up? But to your point, you know, on the metals part, that for sure, with the aluminum and the steel, and that definitely has taken hold. And you're closer to that than I am. And it's definitely when you look at the soy product, though, and that's something that's been a commodity listing on the non-manufacturing side for quite some time, and in regards to up in price, down in price, and what's going on, and definitely is going to have, as you said, that will be a pass-through cost for sure for the consumer over in Asia.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And it's happening here in the States. We had a discussion with Timken Steel, who just after the March 23rd implementation of the tariff, raised their prices just short of the tariff amount. And so the steel companies now are beginning to take advantage of the tariff, and that's going to be a direct pass-through. And in that same conversation, we were told that, and this is only the beginning, that 2 weeks from that time, which is, I think, this week, Timken is raising their prices again. So who's going to pay for it? The manufacturers and the non-manufacturers and the people.
Yes, we the people. Anthony, you've got some comments from your respondents that talk to this. I wonder if you'd share the one on construction, because that's pretty revealing.
Definitely. That one, when I was going through the respondent comments and extrapolating what to include in the report, this one jumped off the page at me. And I'll read it as follows. the unbelievable amount of market volatility in construction-related materials that started with lumber continues with the tariffs on steel and aluminum. Accurate long-term planning has become incredibly difficult as distributors that historically held costs for at least 30 days are now, in some cases, committing to only 7 days, as prices can change drastically in that time. And also from finance, that came from construction, and also from finance and insurance, interest rate hike and tariffs are likely to impact cost and price of goods and services. So there is that, we know what's immediately impacting the various industries and the companies that make up these industries. It still remains to be seen what are the short-term and long-term ramifications of what is to be implemented. And I think we'll have a much better handle on it when we get to conference this year with the semi-annual releases. We have questions directly addressing the tariffs and how it impacts the respective companies and industries that comprise both sectors.
It's not good. It's not good. And it's creating a lot. And there are a lot of companies out there that are now afraid to buy goods. They may have orders, and even though on your report the new orders for the month of February dropped from 62.8 to 60.6, which is 64.8 to 59.5, that's a fairly substantial drop in new order count, wouldn't you think?
It is. It's still reflecting of a strong rate of growth. I was questioning whether or not it would be sustainable at that rate. And when you throw in variables such as, you know, this and interesting, the first thing that came to mind was somebody was doing some forward buying, trying to get in before the tariff deadline, and they wound up holding it in customs anyway. I mean, that was so much for the best laid plans of trying to, you know, hedge and forward buy a bit. It just didn't seem to materialize. And we're seeing a little bit of slowing in the rate of inventories, not so much month-to-month, but if you look at it over the quarter, down to 53.5, it's not reflecting a lot of growth, same reading as last month. And that coupled with backlog, when you look at backlog, supplier deliveries, inventory, they're all interrelated as to what's happening. And there has been some capacity constraints, so we're seeing the inventories burn a little bit, even though that rate looks flat month to month, and we're seeing the delivery slowing a little bit. And as we've talked about in the past, we have a issue with overland trucking right now, availability of trucks, containers, and drivers. As business activity has increased, it's just been a vortex of trying to overcome some of the capacity issues.
Well, we'll have Amazon transport truckloads of steel via drones.
Really big drones.
Yes.
Anthony, when we come back, we're going to take a quick commercial break here. I want to talk to you about something called capacity utilization on the manufacturing side and how that looks on the non-manufacturing side and what kind of headroom they have. But let me take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
How do you keep your business humming? Where do you go when you're looking for quality suppliers of new equipment, components, MRO supplies, repair services, or even raw materials? 30 years ago, you would have turned to the Thomas Register. Today, those big green books are better than ever at thomasnet.com, industry's leading platform for product sourcing and supplier discovery. You can easily find that local machine shop, national distributor, OEM, or any supplier having the right quality certification. Fast and free. You can even get to specific products, components, or downloadable 3D CAD drawings simply by entering specifications or part numbers. There's a reason ThomasNet.com has become the go-to supplier discovery tool for procurement professionals and engineers. There's simply no other resource like it, and it's all free. Go to ThomasNet.com today and see how top-notch supplier discovery doesn't have to put a dent into your bottom line.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
We're speaking with Anthony Yevis, who's the committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management's Non-Manufacturing Report on Business. Anthony, I know when we speak with Tim Fiore, who talks about the manufacturing side. We often talk to him about capacity utilization, which I guess is running in the mid to high 80s right now for manufacturing. And it's a little hard for them to expand because they have to either build a new plant or go to second shift. Is it a little easier on the non-manufacturing side to open up capacity?
Not at this juncture. If we look back to the December semi-annual release, as you mentioned, you know, manufacturing was at 85.8%. And then you go over to the non-manufacturing side, it was 91.9%. And so you look at that and say, well, how much room is there? There's not any room, really, if you look at it closely and see that, you know, I've been saying for years communicating from our respondents for years that as we had a correction from the recession, companies learned to do more with less, less in terms of human resources, enhanced technology. These were some of the things that really impacted the non-manufacturing side, which is a bit more labor-intensive than what we see on the manufacturing side. And even though looking at what the unemployment rate is at 4.1%, there's not much to pull from in regards to labor. And even though the companies have been adding jobs, again, they're becoming more efficient. And I remember from my time of going through transformation at the corporate in the corporate world, we really had to get really efficient in order to have the same output, regardless of what the service deliverable was.
One of the things that I found interesting, Anthony, is that the average for the year on non-manufacturing is at 57.7, which is really a strong vital number. Have you had this in the past, in recent years?
We haven't. If you look at the index, the composite index, back in January, when it was at a high of 59.9, that was the highest since the inception of the composite index of January 2008. So we're talking 10 years. So 10 years. And that 57.7 has been, we've been in the 57 range prior to that. We had a, you know, some pullback back in July 2017. But other than that, this number has been fairly consistent across the board. There's been fluctuation amongst the indexes that comprise the composite. When you look at the business activity, new orders, supplier deliveries, and employment, they're all equally weighted at 25%. So we had some movement across the board that still kept the composite index at this high level. And I can tell you that if you look at it on a seasonally adjusted basis, and you can go back even further than those 10 years as to the high for this composite index. And it's just it's amazing that this industry, I mean this sector and the industries that comprise this sector have been reflecting such strength for a period of time. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's just a continuation from what we saw, the strong growth in the fourth quarter last year. We didn't know if it would be sustainable. I was always questioning, you know, whether we would see some sideways movement or some dipping down, and it's just kept going strong. I think what may be a potential bump in the road is what we talked about earlier today. How are the tariffs going to affect the results of both sectors going forward?
Scary thought. one of the things, and I'm going a little backwards on you here about industry performance, and mining seems to be the number one leader, and that's really a first in a very long time.
Well, mining's been strong for quite some time, but if you look back to 2016, that was an industry that was an anchor on almost the rest of the other industries for performance. Mining was in the doldrums. They were just terrible. And then they picked up in 2017, and they've been steady since.
Well, we also see effects of that because they're buying steel products for their mining activities. So we've seen that pick up directly, and usually those parts are heavy and expensive, which is always a good thing.
Definitely.
Anthony, I'm just worrying about the agriculture sector. They're likely to get hit pretty hard with the tariffs. I think more so as I read what China is putting tariffs on than some of the other sectors. How big an industry of all of the ones that you report on is agriculture?
You know, that's a great question. I couldn't tell you exactly what the contribution is to GDP for that particular industry. I can find that out, but I don't know it off the top of my head. But they are running in the top three. And when you look at the composite index, agriculture is the third one listed. It's the third one listed in business activity, and that's behind, you know, mining, real estate, rental leasing. And then it's also the third one listed in new orders. So it's been at the top of the list as far as rate of growth month to month.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was right up there. And I'm obviously concerned that if we continue to see pressure with tariffs, that sector could slow down because somebody's going to stop ordering something, and then we're going to have a glut on this side of the pond, and they're going to have to do pork dumping, I guess, somewhere.
Yes, and I think that, you know, people still have to process and eat and whatnot, and so, you know, it remains to be seen if there's going to be alternate sources developed by, if there is this, in fact, trade war going on, if it's going to be diverted to different sources of supply. But keeping in mind that just through the scale and scope of it all, I don't think there's an avoidance of having to utilize some of the product. It's just, as you said, the rate may change or trend downward.
Mm-hmm. Well, my feeling is that if in fact this is not just brinksmanship and a strategy to negotiate better deals with some of the countries, namely China, even though China, for example, is the 12th country in the world that supplies steel and aluminum to the United States, which is almost a blip. So this has more to do with personal feelings about the administration and China. So that being said, somewhere along the line, these tariffs are going to get absorbed into pricing. And, you know, we're going to wring our hands and whine about increasing costs. But somewhere along the line, it's going to get absorbed. You almost don't even hear the last week or so anybody talking about the steel tariffs on the news anymore, fake news or real news, whichever you want to call it. It's beginning to slide into the abyss. Now we're talking about the next set of tariffs, and now we're talking about the China tariffs. So somewhere along the line, it's going to get either absorbed or they're going to wind up dropping this whole thing when they find out that this is not working, as five other presidents have deemed it so.
Lou, yeah, I thought you weren't going to talk about or mention fake news.
What's that?
I thought you weren't going to mention the fake news.
We try not to talk politics. I didn't say anything about politics. I didn't even use his name once. We don't want to annoy any of our listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Anthony,
you don't want to get anybody riled up.
That's right. Anthony, I want you to get a plug in for ISM 2018, which is in Nashville, May 6 through 9. I know that you and Tim Fiore kind of do a wrap-up at that with your semi-annual update. What all is going to go on at that show in Nashville?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's a great venue. It's the international conference that happens once a year. Nashville is a great city. It's over at the Gaylord, and not that I'm looking to plug any particular hotel company, but that's where the location is, and there are various tracks of focus for supply management professionals from all industries and sectors, both sectors. And we have some great keynotes going on, as well as these focus segments of supply and logistics. So it's a great, great conference. I recommend it. Good educational forum as well. Interaction with buyers and chief procurement officers and supply managers, logistics managers, the whole gambit of anyone on the supply side will benefit from being there.
Do you know any particular radio shows that are going to be there?
Oh, do we give a plug for Manufacturing Talk Radio?
Sure. Go for it. We gave a plug for you, now you give a plug for us.
Absolutely. And we look forward to seeing you guys. You're hard to spot with all those folks around there, though, but look out for the Blazers. We'll see you.
Yeah, the yellow, canary yellow jackets.
Definitely.
So we look forward to seeing you there.
Likewise.
Hey, Anthony, anything else on this report that you want to share with our listeners before we wrap up this segment?
Just to touch base on when we look at the employment number at 56.6, it grew, the 1.6 percentage points month to month, which is nice and seems to be in line, as we talked about earlier, the unemployment rate at 4.1. We have the ADP report coming out on Friday. Things seem to be that, that should be a fairly decent report. Time will tell. But this sector, as I mentioned, being labor intensive, it's always good to see a decent employment number, and that helped to, along with the business activity, to buoy the NMI Composite Index.
Great. Well, Anthony, we appreciate you being on Manufacturing Talk Radio to share all of the important facets of this report. Again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me on the show.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right, and we were speaking with Anthony Nieves, who's a committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management's Non-Manufacturing Report on Business. You can find that report at instituteforsupplymanagement.org. Excuse me. And you can also find it within mfgtalkradio.com, our main website. And don't forget to listen to WAM, Women in Manufacturing, which is the other show that we broadcast at the Manufacturing Broadcasting Corporation. They are at womenandmfg.com. That website's got some great interviews in it. You'll really enjoy listening to those, male or female. Terrific information. Lou, anything else before we wrap?
No, I think that's it. The numbers are looking great. The headwinds are minimal, except for the one coming out of D.C., and hopefully
right.
That'll ultimately go away. I didn't mention his name. This is a little bit of wag the dog, but let's leave it alone, and hopefully it'll go away somewhere along the line.
We hope so. And that wraps up this live episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Well, if I
Thanks
could just...
for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.